Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians 11. I can't wait to hear what the Lord has to say tonight. Man, we're getting some good stuff. Hallelujah. It's good to see my good buddy Wayne Horn and his beautiful wife Evelyn from South Carolina. Hallelujah. I think Gary did imitation of Wayne last night, and I think he does Wayne better than Wayne does himself. But he's the real live Wayne is here tonight. Hallelujah. Well, we're just talking about offerings here for just a few moments, and if you went back to chapter 8, you see that Paul actually took up offerings for the church. And Jim was talking about Paul taking up offerings, that he did take up offerings, but how he did it and the manner in which he did it and those kinds of things. In chapter 8, if we just read just a little bit, you know that this particular offering was for the church. He says, "Moreover, brethren, we do," I said to turn to 11, but turn back to 8. He says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit," or to know about this, "the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, and yes, beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints." So you know that offering there was for the church, and you know that what he was asking for was for the ministry of the saints. Chapter 9, which there was no real division of chapter, but he was continuing to talk about this offering. And he says, "For the touching, the ministry to the saints," and he's still talking about it there. But in chapter 11, let's turn over there. And Paul, I just want you to see the integrity of Paul and us to ask ourselves the question, the hour that we're living in and what we're supposed to be looking for in the integrity of men who are receiving offerings and people that are asking concerning the motivation of the heart and those kinds of things. Verse 1 says this. He's writing to the church. He says, "Would to God that you bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you to as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or you receive another spirit in which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him." And this is where Paul begins to talk about what is a real problem there. He's addressing a situation where false apostles are coming in and false teachers are coming in. But one of the things that they're doing is that they are comparing themselves equal to Paul and saying, "We've got as much right to speak into your life as Paul does. You can hear us as much as Paul," and in some cases they were saying even more so, because, you know, "We have this, we can match him, you know, line on line, and we've got all the goods." And Paul was talking about these guys that were coming into the church and how that they were trying to extort the people. And his heart is bared out here when he says this. He says in verse 5, he says, "For I suppose that I was not wit behind the very chiefest of apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things." In other words, our lifestyle, everything that he and his team before them, all the time that they were living among them. And he's teaching to the Corinthians here, and the Corinthian church is in a province of Greece, which was Achaia, and it was part of Greece. And he's teaching them because there's a real problem moving into those churches and then moving into Corinth, and he's talking about these false ones that are coming in and trying to get approval and saying, we've got as much right to teach you as Paul did. And Paul says, but though I be rude in speech in 6, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest, or our reputation made manifest among you in all things. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that ye might be exalted? Because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely. I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. I'll stop right there and say this. Paul does preach or teach in another place that those who minister at the altar should be supplied by the altar. So he's not saying it's wrong for me to receive wages from preaching. That's not what he's saying. But he's trying to do something. He's trying to do something against false preachers. And he loved the Corinthian church so strong. Now, we saw in 8 and 9, very simply without going into it, that he did receive offerings, but it was for the churches. But here he begins to say to them in verse 9, when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man, for that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. Very possibly the church at Philippi. Philippi was a capital city of Macedonia, and we know that they ministered to Paul at different times. And so here he's saying that the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied his need. We know that in chapter 8 that they gave to the needs of the ministry, but evidently when they met Paul, they must have said, okay, here's for the ministry, and Paul, we're supplying your need as well. And there was a separation as well. So Paul said here, when I was present with you in Corinth and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome to you, so that I might keep myself. And as the truth of Christ is in me, that no man stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. So Corinth was in Achaia. And he's saying, look, while I was with you, he said, I received no wages from you. And he says, as the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth. But I do that I may cut off an occasion from them which desire an occasion, that wherein they may glory, they may be found as we. What he was saying was this. These guys that have come in and said, trying to bring false doctrine, they were saying, you know what, we can match Paul in all things. We can match him in everything. And Paul said, look, while I was with you, now at least for a season, he said, I took nothing from you. We know that he did raise an offering for the churches, but he said, I received no wages from you. And he said, why did I do this? He said, I did it so that I could cut off an occasion for those who are trying to extort the church. He's saying, what I was doing was this. If they say they're going to match me card for card, okay, you know, you look at Paul as this, well, we're that. We can do that. Well, Paul can do this. Well, we can do that too. Well, Paul said this. I'm going around all of Achaia, and I'm running my mouth. And what I'm saying is this. My boasting is this. While I was with or teaching in Corinth, I received no personal wages from them. Now, again, I'll remind you, this doesn't get misconstrued. It is the mind of Christ that ministers receive from the altar. But at least for a season, because of what these extorters were trying to do, he was saying this. God supplies my need. He supplies it in such a way that even the brethren from someplace else where I wasn't even preaching came and gave to me. Now, if these guys want to prove who they are, let them hear this. I take nothing. I've not been taking anything. And if they want to match card for card, and they want to say we're as good as Paul, let them line up with this. And what he was trying to do really was just, he was just trying to starve them out. He's just trying to starve them out. they say, you know, the Paul was saying, look, I'm talking foolishly. They say, you know, they're Hebrews. I'm a Hebrew. They say they're Israelites. I can match them pedigree to pedigree, but look, where's their heart? He said, I'm boasting this not because I don't love you. Do you think I'm trying to run around and ruin your reputation? He said, what I'm doing is I'm doing this to cut off an occasion of those who are trying to come in and extort you. And I love you so much that I can prove to you that their hearts are not right. And if they want to match me line to line, card to card, let them hear this. Let them hear this boasting that I've taken nothing from you. And if they want to say that I'm as good as Paul, well, let's see. Let's see. Let's see if they can run their personal life and let God supply it from someplace else for a season. Now, could you follow somebody like that? Hallelujah. Is that integrity? Praise God. That's integrity. Praise the Lord. The revival that we're headed towards has that kind of grassroots integrity. And you're here for that purpose. And I'm glad I'm a part of it. Are you glad you're a part of it? Amen.